took a very long time for them to get me involved. I mean, every time I was proselytized, I would say, get away from me, and in not very nice words.
Yeah.
But I guess...
You were young. How old were you then?
I was 20 years old. So,
yeah.
And I was very... I rotted in New York City. I was born and reeked in New York City. I was from Spanish Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the similar story of coming from, you know, the Jewish people who had to go from Egypt to Canaan. God somehow had to get me out of New York to get me to become closer to something that I needed to hear that was important. But
yeah,
because I was so ingrained in my environment, anybody who came to me, whether you were a religious person, a Buddhist, a Hare Krishna, and Hamamuni, oh, get away from me. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Don't sell me the word God.
Yeah.
And so I decided my life was bad there, and I decided to travel to California to become a stuntman.
Oh.
And I met the Unification Movement, and they sold me. But it took 3 attempts before I can really get near it. It took physical intervention to finally get me to join.
Really?
Yeah.
You were tough then, huh?
Well, it's strange. No, I wasn't, well, spiritually, I was callous and very, very, yeah.
And your background is Jewish?
Pretty messed up. People ask me that. No, I haven't
said that. Your nose is Jewish.
Yes. You're like the 100th person that told me that. I don't know where I come from, but my ancestry is Italian.
Oh.
So I don't know if I have one.
So Roman knows that.
Yeah, maybe.
So what did they have to like come and get you or what?
Well, what happened was when I went to the second time that I went to the dinner program, and I met CARP members who were traveling as roadies for Sunburst.
Uh-huh.
And I met my friend from New York City who was a bar bouncer in San Diego, and I drove there with my van. And so it was my friend Joe Vega. Wow, we're good connecting here. And then I met these two girls. I mean, Carla and John Boldway were my spiritual parents. And I just happened to go out to get some beer from my friend and his girlfriend. And they saw me, and I had this, you know, where the hell in Miami t-shirt. And she goes, oh, you're from New York? And we're from Florida. I said, no, I'm from New York. Oh, you're from New York? And it was like, okay. So we bonded together. And it was a year prior to that when I met the Unification Church in the San Diego Beach House. But because they got that God thing going, and because that was really something I didn't want to know, I said, thank you very much. I got to go. But then this house that they went to, I told them I came out here to become a stuntman. Oh, we're making movies. Come to our dinner program. Okay, sounds good. This is a way for me to become a stuntman, because I thought maybe I can get to be like John Travolta's bodyguard.
Yeah.
or his stuntman, or I should say. And a long story short, and this is I'm so sorry about that. I just met them, but because they gave me that 2-day that dinner program lecture again, they mentioned the word God. No matter how touched I was and how much I loved their music, once that word God came to me, and I was raised an altar boy, I had to reject them. I just, something just turned off. The shades went solid. Turned off the lights. God's the word here? Thank you. No, thank you. I'm going to go. No, thanks. I don't want to go to the 2-day workshop. But you guys were great. And I left. So 3 days later, my van was in Balboa parking lot, in this huge football field-sized parking lot. No other cars were there. Suddenly, this other vehicle comes, smashes into my vehicle.
Oh.
And I come out of the van, and I go, what's going on? There was this drunk guy there, and then all the security guards came from all over the left and the right, and they were protecting, I guess there was some type of backyard in there. They probably thought I was gay and I was waiting for my boyfriend or something. I think something like that. Anyway, I couldn't move my van anymore because of the accident. So I was walking in the streets in San Diego, and I sat down at the bus stop. It was like 5 in the morning, and I waited for 6. So should I bother my friend Joe Vega? But down the block is where the Sunburst had a nice dinner program. You know what? They were nice people. Maybe they'd let me have a shower. So instead of bothering my friend, I decided to go over there and say hello. And on the side of this chair, the guy's down looking, says a second, I'm coming up the stairs. He didn't know what to make of me, and I didn't know what to make of him, but it was getting close. I was going to say hello. That was John Travolta's bodyguard. His name was John Brady.
Really?
His name was John Brady, and John Brady just happened to come back, and they called him Rocky for short. Now, he just happened to come back from a 7-day workshop. And Carla Mankin was there, and my spiritual mom, and I had the feels for her, you know, she's a nice girl, and John Bowley, and all the other CARP members were there that I didn't know much about. But because Rocky and me, he wanted to know all about me. He could have sworn I was John Travolta walking up the steps. Because when we were young, it was like, oh, okay, no. Really? Yeah. Hey, I wanted to stick to this guy because he was going to introduce me to John Travolta and I was going to be his stuntman. That was my selfish reason for wanting to join the church. So what happens is that he happened to have come back from a 7-day workshop, as he said, and so I thought to myself, you know what? I can't let this guy go. Yeah, I'll go to that 2-day workshop with you. That sounds great. And so there it went. I went to this 2-day workshop, got over this principle of creation thing. I said, okay. But then this is what happens, the fall of man. And then all the stories of the Old Testament made life sense to me for the first time in human history. Nowhere else have I ever heard a story. I thought the Old Testament were fairy tales, untrue. I was a very ignorant guy. I was uneducated. I barely made it out of high school. I was just a street smart, marijuana selling, drug fiend, marijuana pothead. And that's all that was important to me in life. Like, you know, when I get to the King of Heaven, I'm going to roll up my first marijuana joint. That was my value system at that time. That was the ridiculousness of it. But when
you were young.
When I heard the fall of man, people after the lecture came up to me and said, what did you think of the fall of man? And I'm like, oh, it's terrible. That really happened. I couldn't eat. And I said, I'm not so hungry, you know. I just couldn't get it out of my head. Never thought God had a sensitive and struggling and suffering heart. And these are the things that connected me. And then instantaneously throughout the time, I can tie all of this together, like, see all of it. Human history, history of restoration came up. Immediately, like, I can see this vision of formula for world peace. Boom. Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't understand a lot of it. I'm learning today that I still didn't understand, but I understood enough to drive me. And it was from that point, I swore these moons are not going to get the credit. I want the credit. I want to be part of this. These guys are going to make history. I'm going to be part of that history. I remember the first 2-day workshop, I was like, I wish I could do that, teach like that. Those are the things, those are the thoughts that came through my mind, and somehow I kind of evolved, and I made that commitment. I told my friend from New York City, you can have my apartment, it's yours, I'm not coming back. So these are the things that happened, and I got involved with the movement, and I struggled. But then one day, three years later, my central figure, Franco, asked me, what do you think, you want to go on this, see about, Dr. Stick wants to talk to you. Dr. Stick came to me and said, you want to be a security guard? Well, what happened, there was a 21-day condition in my area. I became an MFT person. There was a 21-day condition where whoever can make a $300 average through that first 21 days, and it was 1983, Father Moon's birthday. Whoever can get a $300 average can come to New York. And so, you know, the third week of my 21-day history, I had a $60 average. The last week, I made so much money that I made $300 average.
Really? Wow.
And so I got to New York, and then Dr. Sick asked Frank Rowe who would be the best guy for security, and he thought of me because I'm from New York, and that's like, I don't know what to do, and I'm like, we got to fight! Yeah, that was the stupid spirit I had. So Dr. Sick comes to me and say, you want to be Paula's security? I go, And I thought I was so selfish to say yes. I kind of, yeah. So then he punches me in the ribs. Will you study martial arts for father? Sure. And then he punches me again. And then I finally had an interview with father and Ooh. Two other gentlemen, and I was there for 14 years ever since.
So you learned martial arts?
Yeah, it was a little Muay Do here and there. But
okay, so you had an interview with father?
Yes.
So what was that like?
Well, when father lined, when we came, father had his interpreter, of course, it was Mr. Hyo-Yo Kim, and my friend, we had Scott, Gordon, and myself lined up in the solarium at East Garden. So, interestingly enough, this is a very interesting story. Father Moon looks at Scott. Hey, I hope it's okay to use names, but that's okay.
Oh, sure.
He goes to Scott. You tend to do strange things. I'm gonna be watching you. Okay, so interesting. And then he looked at Gordon. Now Gordon was my friend before we even joined, well, during MFT time, a couple of years back before he was a candidate for security as well. He looks at Gordon and he says, you are an adopted child. And I'm like, heck, I didn't even know that. And he saw right through that. Gets to me. And it turned into a question. So, I thought, are you impatient? And I go, no, father. I guess I just gave that away. And I thought he meant something like, yeah, it took me 40 years to almost know what he meant till today. But I thought he meant something like, oh, because I taught some sisters how to drive, and I thought I was very patient, you know. Anyway, that's the question he said to me. And then from that point on, he went on to say, you should learn to not smile when you're happy. Or you should learn to show that you're happy when you're not at all happy. And this is the truth, you know. And he's sharing his life, what his skills had to be. He's trying to share with us how we must conform to things of our nature, of our life. So, you know, it was... I guess father, you can say, can see through all of us. The brother about who said here's funny thing, the person that he said you do tend to do strange things. A couple of years down the road, there was this rat that he put into a public freezer that we used in a baggie. Like, okay, that's pretty strange. My father was right about that. Another time, you saw him chasing the house dog with a deer leg. Yeah, your father's right. He sure does seem to do strange things. So just that sense, what father could say, what father can see through each and every one of us, it made sense. And to this day, I recognize, boy, I have to learn to curtail my patience. And I just didn't know what that meant. And just took so many years to unfold, and my life course proves how it was. So I gotta do something about that.
Did you ever find out if you were adopted, who your parents were?
No. It was the other guy.
That was Gordon.
Oh, the other guy.
No, yeah. Gordon probably does know, but he was raised by another family. Uh-huh. But the fact that father knew that he was an adopted child. That's
yeah, just by looking at
amazing.
Him.
Just, yeah. It's mind blower.
Did you get match? Bless?
Yes, I'm matched. I kept the same wife that father chose for
me. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where is she?
She's in Japan. She's in She's Japanese and she's in Alhambra.
Oh.
She works at a sushi place right here, and she works on Sundays, so she's not here.
Who's that?
Getan? The sushi, the restaurant that
I see. Okay.
Yeah, she... My wife and I, we left Belvedere and East Garden because we were asked to leave. Like, they were downsizing.
Yeah.
And it was like, it wasn't anything about what should we do in this movement. It was more like, felt like the movement's falling apart. We should move on. So, you know, maybe it was great or maybe it was good for me because it was like we were in a fishbowl and we needed to get out.
Yeah.
We needed to go out in the world. And I think I've taken that really to boot because I've been in Afghanistan, I've been into almost every country since then, of every state of this nation, and I've been in Kuwait, Afghanistan, I've been in Hawaii, and everywhere, like a gypsy. the last three, I mean, a year and a half ago, I was living in my car in Alhambra.
And your children?
They're dispersed all in California. I took them out of New York. They hated me for it. And but now they're all dispersed in California. I have four kids. My oldest daughter is a nurse now. She has two children. And my other daughter, a year under her, she just has now a pregnancy. She's 7 months pregnant. And my two boys sandwiched in between. My oldest son, he's in Berkeley. He's a tattoo artist, and he's got a good heart, but he's got a wild heart. And my other youngest son, he's in San Obispo trying to figure out life.
Mm.
He's my other ultimate hope that can make maybe a second generation. My children are not blessed, and they're not attached to somebody that's the second generation.
How about your wife? She never helped them understand that?
Well, that's
being Japanese.
Those are questions that only you can ask her.
So she was not too close to the church, the Japanese sister.
Well, that's a hard thing to say because, you know, as a Japanese woman, she's following me.
Oh, okay.
So the question is, where was I? What was I doing?
Yeah, where were you traveling?
That's my point.
Oh, well.
The prodigal son.
Yeah, we all have different courses in our family and different situations.
True.
My son, I raised him very much close to the church, and now he's out of just